Hello everyone, it's Harmon. We have a new episode for you today on the history of comedians being fired from Saturday Night Live. Oh, that sounds interesting. Before we jump into the episode, a quick plug. I have a new book out called Tribe Spotting Undercover Culture Stories, all about my exploits going out undercover in disguise and infiltrating extremist groups. Check it out on Amazon. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
You know what? You freaking just threw an ashtray full of butts at my head. You know what? You stood up for yourself, and I fucking love you for that. You're in my heart, babe. You're in my heart.
Whoa. She knew she did a boo-boo.
Yep.
She knew she did wrong.
Whoops.
Whoa. You don't swear on Saturday Night Live. And what you heard there was a clip from, it was 2009, September 26, 2009, when new cast member of SNL, Jenny Slate, swore on live television because it's called Saturday Night Live. My co-host Scott Kalonico, what happened to Jenny Slate?
She got fired.
Yeah. And yes, you've tuned into a new episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I am Harmon Leon. With me, as I just introduced, Scott Kalonico. Scott, how are you?
I'm not fired, Harmon. You're not going to fire me. Fuck.
Don't say anything racist.
No.
Again, to restate what you heard up front, is in 2009, new Saturday Night Live cast member Jenny Slate accidentally said the word fuck during a sketch, which kind of looked like a female version of Wayne's World. I don't know the premise of that sketch.
She thought she was going to
be immediately fired, and then she didn't, but by the end of the season, she learned it coming out of her therapist's office. She saw on the news on Deadline Hollywood that she was fired.
Yeah. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. That's a whole other podcast. On the whole, this is like the X version of Wayne's World, because once...
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed the Wayne's World sketch.
Oh, yeah. Wayne's World is a great sketch.
Once they figured
out... And a great first movie.
Yeah, and once they figured out how that worked, though, like you can go through every season after that and identify...
They have their own Wayne's World?
Yes, exactly. It was just like, okay, guys, that kind of worked. Here, let's just do it again with a different...
Oh, yeah. They had Jimmy Fallon webcam character.
That was the worst.
Which was just a one-man Wayne's World.
Yeah, and that was just him and fucking, what's his name, Horatio Sands just laughing at each other the whole time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is probably every sketch ends with them laughing at their own lines, which is cardinal sin. But how this all ties in, this week in the news, and not only in the news, but in reality, new Saturday Night Live cast member Shane Gillis was fired just after days of being introduced as a cast member. You know why, Scott?
I think he said something that wasn't very nice on a podcast.
I think he said a lot of racist shit on podcasts and then came back on his Twitter feed going, you know, sometimes when you push the line, you sometimes push it
too far.
You know, when you try to be the edgy, sometimes you get too edgy. And it wasn't like, you know, kind of like when you think of like, you know, stuff like that where the people that actually did push the line, you're... Bill Hicks, your Lenny Bruce's, your George Carlin's, who we've all talked about on this podcast, check it out in our archives, is that, you know, they use edgy to change, norms and ideas of society, you know, like when, you know, Dick Gregory or Lenny Bruce were, you know, examining, you know, the words of the day, and, you know, they had a point to make, but when you're just, you know, throwing. I heard a little bit of what I read what he said, but fire him. Why the fuck not? I never heard of him. But there's also a conspiracy theory is, and my friend Mike Todd last night told me this conspiracy theory is this is a season that they actually hired the first Asian cast member.
Right. Yeah,
and
I saw that.
They thought that this was just a coup to drum up publicity for the new season.
Yeah.
Because this guy was making anti-Asian disparaging comments. So yeah, there could be that.
Yeah, I mean, that was like, did you see that? So you're in New York, and you guys had that New York Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
And they had
we have that New York Fashion Week we have here.
It's pretty big. But, you know, they had some fashion place did a pop-up thing, and they had, like, one of their designs was, Columbine sweatshirts with bullet holes in them and stuff.
But they always had that shit, like at Urban Outfitter, you know.
Yeah, but it's just they're just doing
edgy fashion,
and it worked.
What, just to get the attention?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Certainly. Dude, but I think you know what we're doing? Digressing.
Okay, well, we can do that a little bit.
Because today's episode is on famous cast members who were fired from SNL.
Yep.
And there's there's more than you think. So
I know.
One thing that SNL did was, besides firing people, they also passed on several comedians that have become famous to this day. Like Jim Carrey auditioned for Saturday Night Live, didn't get it. Stephen Colbert, didn't get it. Kevin Hart, didn't get it. Mark Maron, as you hear all the time on his podcast,
yeah.
didn't get it. But they're not the only ones. But the actual, we have a list here. So Scott, I'll throw out some names. You tell me fire.
Are we going in any order? Let's not go in any order. We don't really have an order.
Let's run it freestyle.
Okay. But you just keep track of who we talked about and who we didn't.
Okay. Did we talk about Jenny Slate yet?
We did a little bit up front, yeah.
Do we talk about new cast member Shane Gillis?
The funny thing about Jenny Slate is she kind of like, I don't know if she did this before or after being mm-hmm. on, but she kind of turned into like, she started, her and her partner started doing these animation shorts on YouTube that wound up being friggin' huge.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah, and then now she's like indie movie person, so she's doing all right.
Yeah, then since you're going indie movie person, we're not going in any order, there was Laurie Metcalf was uh-huh. in 1981. She made her debut on Saturday Night Live for only one episode. Now, you might really remember her as the Academy Award-nominated mom from Lady Bird.
Yeah, or you might remember her from, that's how I remember her, from the Roseanne show. Not Roseanne. It was just Roseanne.
Yeah, so
like,
there you go.
Yeah, she was like her sister. Yeah, but I forgot that she was on there. That was really weird. Mm-hmm. But she was on that one season, that season where like they fired everyone except
Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy. Yeah. So I guess, you know, there's that where they just totally clean house, you know. So
yeah,
they
that's
fired
different. We can't,
they
we can't
they fired everyone. So I think that was a horrible, because the Lorne Michaels wasn't involved, and then you had all these iconic comedians that just left, and then it's like, all right, here's new guys. And the only people, like Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo, were kind of like the second tier of that.
Yeah.
And they're the only ones that got asked back. But, you know, I really can't praise Joe Piscopo too much.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one, I think that was, who's the other, it was Gilbert Gottfried was on that season too.
Oh, yeah, he was more a writer, but I think he was like, wasn't he just sort of in bit parts and stuff?
Yeah, well, he kind of came out. He came out and did a couple things. But, yeah, that was that was pretty interesting to see. But, yeah, that was they had the whole clean out of the episode.
Yeah, so another person who was, like, hired as a writer but also did bit parts, Sarah Silverman. And what mm-hmm. happened to her? She was fired. She was fired from the 1993-1994 season of Saturday Night Live. She worked for 18 weeks, and she said only one sketch she wrote survived to dress rehearsal, and none of them aired. Scott, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say she got fired in that particularly 90s way. She got fired by fax.
Yeah, the second option of firing her would be by beeper.
Yeah.
Oh, my beeper gone off. I better go check my phone messages. And then, yeah, well, man, you're fired.
That was a weird season because that was like the one where they packed it with all those kids in the hall guys. It was like a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was like a couple of, one of the guys was kids in the hall. I can't remember which one. One of the guys from kids in the hall was on there.
Right.
And then it was like, you know, Sarah Silverman, I think kind of Sandler and Farley were still on there. And,
yeah.
Oh, it had like, I think Christopher Gant, one of those guys might have still been floating around there. And it was just like, just not a funny season.
Yeah, but I think maybe Conan O'Brien. No, I don't think he was a writer on that. But Bob Odenkirk was a writer, I think, during that era, which is kind of ironic or funny.
Yeah.
But they said they fired her because she didn't really have her own voice, or she had her own voice, but like in every sketch, she was just very much Sarah Silverman, so couldn't really, you know, transform into do a lot of characters. But fired. Chris Rock, on the other hand, what happened to him, Scott?
Well, he wanted to...
Fired!
Yeah, he's fired. Okay, right, okay, I get it.
The overall, we're playing fired, not fired.
Right, okay, all right, I get it. Yeah, well, this I didn't know about him, because he'd actually been there for a while, and but like he wanted to go do an episode of In Living Color.
I think, did he want to do an episode or just voice that he wanted to join the cast?
Oh, he did. Yeah, he wanted to just join the cast. Well, of course you're going to get fired, dude.
Yeah, so, so he wanted to join the cast. And when he returned to host Saturday Night Live in 2019, he and Adam Sandler did a song called I Was Fired by NBC. Rock sang, I went on In Living Color 3 weeks later. They took it off TV. So he didn't make it as a cast member on In Living Color.
Yeah, so he's there for a little bit. Okay.
And the reason why Chris Rock sang this song with Adam Sandler about being fired from NBC, Adam Sandler, fired or not fired?
I'm fired. Not really sure. Oh, okay.
Well, it was an iffy territory because, you know, he did his long stint on Saturday Night Live. So in Sandler's words, he wasn't sure if he fired or he quit. So it was him and Chris Farley. And he said, we kind of quit at the same time as we're being fired. And that was in the summer of 1995.
Yeah, so they kind of, both those guys left around the same time. But yeah, I think that's the funniest ones where they're like, well, we kind of quit. We kind of got fired. We're not really sure yet. So
they're already making the big movies. So
yeah,
they're like,
already.
It was
stars,
like
yeah.
kind of time for them to move on.
Yeah.
But tragically, 2 years after being fired, Chris Farley died.
Yeah, sad.
Kind of a bummer. Kind of a bummer. Because I just everyone from Adam Sandler on down said, just as a pure live performer, Chris Farley was the funniest comedian they've ever seen. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just live on stage.
Oh, yeah. Because that's the thing. It wasn't just the physical stuff. I mean, he was like, you know, he could be big and loud and quiet, too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's like, you would always get 300% commitment from Chris Farley.
I mean, It's actually kind of because I do like my Zach, my Galifianakis, and I like the Between Two Ferns, but...
Which they have a new movie out on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, I mean, it's almost because Chris Farley did that a couple times where he just played the really bad interviewer guy.
Oh, yeah?
Like the really, really uncomfortable interviewer guy. And it was pretty... See if you can find a couple of those, because they're really... Like, he interviewed Paul McCartney, and he was like...
Oh, really?
Well, what was that other band you were in? And just, like, a really bad, unprepared interviewer, and it was funny. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. And then another thing about Chris Farley is, you know, it's so competitive on Saturday Night Live, where if you're a performer and you don't write a sketch, you know, chances are no one's going to put you in the sketch. But for Farley, Farley wasn't a writer, and he seldom wrote. But everyone put Chris Farley in their sketches because they thought you know, he was just unbelievably funny as a live performer. Yeah. But also tying into that, do you remember former Weekend Update host Norm MacDonald?
I think was he on Saturday Night Live, or did something happen to him?
Yeah, he was on Saturday Night Live, and he got fired.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So Norm MacDonald, you know, he's a great stand-up comedian, and I don't know. I guess he was pretty funny on Weekend Update. I don't know. It's pretty much Weekend Update's just sort of an extension of just doing stand-up comedy about the news. Yeah. But he was fired from Weekend Update mere hours after he found out Chris Farley had died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that was kind of a bit of a bummer, yeah. So, yeah, he just kind of... McDonald has a story about just kind of sitting in his car and just, like, thinking about, you know, Chris Farley's dead. Yeah, he's fired, but Chris Farley's dead.
Yeah, but it was also, like, and again, you'll find this with like, several performers, is no one came up and actually outright said to Norm McDonald he was fired. He said, like, Lauren had a really hard time telling you bad stuff. So when he returned for the first episode back after Christmas, so when McDonald pressed whether or not he was doing the segment of Update that week, he was told, "We don't think you are." And he responded, "Someone got to tell me I'm fired."
Yeah, so it's like he needs somebody to say that, dude. I'm not just going to leave. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Yeah, so...
But he had that, but that, there was a weird thing about that, because he, like, he thinks that he's... He would kind of got fired because he made, like, a lot of O.J. Simpson jokes.
Really?
Yeah, because that was at the time where, like, he was doing this his Weekend Updates, and that was, like, around, December 97. So it was, like, after the trial and all that craziness, and he, you know, the butt, you know, he would just make a joke, and the butt would be, like, you know, O.J. Simpson's guilty, is what he would say.
Yeah.
And he would just kind of, like, hammer on that, and, yeah, he said, because it turned out, like... he thought one of the executives was really good friends with Simpson still. You know, it was before, it was before the civil trial, but it was after, you know, he'd gotten off and before he turned into crazy, crazy prank show O.J. Simpson, which you can watch on our episode of Juiced here, or listen to our episode of Juiced here in Comedy History 101. But,
Did you, who co-starred on that O.J. Simpson prank show?
I think that was one of the co-hosts of this podcast here.
What?
There's a whole big, I don't know if you call it a conspiracy theory, but I think that's like Norm MacDonald would always be talking about that.
Oh, really? That's kind of, I never heard that sort of stance on it.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Yeah,
Norm. Okay, yeah, so he's going to thing against O.J. Simpson. Yeah, so you can see some videos. There's like videos, like compilation videos of YouTube and Norm MacDonald constantly shitting on O.J. Simpson.
Oh, poor O.J.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So that is, that's what it is. Here's a headline of the Daily Beast. Norm MacDonald was fired over SNL over O.J. jokes.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, so, all right. So we've got that in the podcast.
Yeah, so what about one of the biggest actors in Hollywood? So this is a two-parter. You're aware that Robert Downey Jr., a.k.a. Iron Man, was a cast member of Saturday Night Live? Because when you think Iron Man, you think comedy sketches.
Oh, no, I remember that. See, that was the same season that, what's his name? Because we might as well Anthony Michael Hall. That was that 1985 season, which also was not very good.
I believe Anthony Michael Hall might have been the youngest cast member. I think he was 18, because I believe Eddie Murphy maybe was 19 when he became a cast member. Yeah. But Robert Downey Jr. was only 20 for the 11th season in 1985. And again, that was just such bad casting. And even Downey would say he was really ill-suited for the show. Here's a quote. He said, "I was not somebody who was going to come up with a catchphrase. I was not somebody who was going to do impressions. I was somebody who was very ill-suited for rapid-fire sketch comedy." Yeah. I was like, this seems really hard.
Yeah. That was another weird. So they cleared about like that season they cleared everybody out again. And mm-hmm. I think they kept like John Lovitz was on that one.
Oh really? Yeah. Was that followed by the season with like Billy Crystal and
That was like the year before. Oh, okay, now I know what I'm thinking of. That other season I'm talking about, that 93-95, it was Michael McKean. Who was on that one? But no, the year before, that was that one that was 84, I think, and that was the one. Yeah, it had all the spinal, like Billy Crystal and all the Spinal Tap.
I always thought that was like cheating when they got like these crazy, well established like movie stars to be cast members, because part of Saturday Night Live was just is always these unknowns that became famous through Saturday Night Live, not people that were already famous joining the cast.
Yeah, that was a weird year because it was, I mean, it was still pretty good. There's some classic, but a lot of stuff they did was filmed. It was all film sketches.
Oh, yeah. Which goes back to Albert Brooks as one of the original sort of cast members doing a film every week.
So, but that same season that, I remember that same season that, what's his name, Robert Downey Jr. was on, that was the season that the Wayne's brother, Damon Wayans, was on.
And what happened to him? Fired.
Did we talk about him?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so he was hired in 1985, and it only lasted one season. I believe it was because he took a straight character and made him a flamboyant gay man without writing the character by the producers. Yeah. Which I think he sort of did that in Beverly Hills Cop, sort of his character in that. He was the banana guy in Beverly Hills Cop. But the banana, you know, remember that scene?
Oh, was that him? Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Pretty positive it is. I mean, if we're wrong, maybe one of our listeners can tell us, set us straight through our website, comedyhistory101.com.
Okay, while you bring up the next person, I will check the banana tailpipe reference. Oh, yeah. Holy crap, it is. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Yeah, so anyway, Damon Wayans was the banana guy from Beverly Hills Cop. But he was fired, and he said he knew he was going to be fired. Lauren did the right thing. So I guess it didn't work out well for Damon Wayans in the end, right? That was the end of his career?
Oh, yeah. He never heard from him again.
Except he went on to star in Living Color for 3 seasons, one of the groundbreaking sketch shows of all time, which really kind of launched the career of Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he did all right.
Now, here's someone who was, he was hired, I don't know if he was, like, fired, but, and it's really interesting. You check out a video of a guy named Charlie Barnett. Now, you see, like, these crazy, he was, like, a crazy street performer. Like, there's this video of him with, like, hundreds and hundreds of people surrounding him in Washington Square Park, which is really kind of cool to watch because Washington Square Park looks exactly the same as it does in the video. And I've heard, like, through, you know, just the comedy scene in New York, that people who said they used to watch him perform in Washington Square Park. And he was hired to be a cast member. It was in 1980 he auditioned for Saturday Night Live when the producer was Gene Domanian. I guess that's who replaced Lauren Michaels in that shitty season.
Yeah, and she is like related to Woody Allen somehow. I will check this out. In the computer. Yeah.
Like my stepdaughter, and then he's dating her? No.
What? No, hey.
Hey. Yeah, so he was hired, but didn't come back, I believe, for the second audition because he couldn't read. He was illiterate. I think either he had a learning disability or just couldn't read. So he was replaced by one, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. No. The Gene Domanian, she went on to produce Woody Allen films after she left Saturday Night Live.
Oh, really? Which films?
Yeah. Bullets Over Broadway. Everything mostly between 1994 and 2000. Bullets Over Broadway. Mighty.
Oh, that's a good movie. That's with John Cusack, right?
Yeah, that one was all right. I saw that one. Small Time Crooks was the last one she did.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. Check out. So Charlie Barnett, he didn't turn up, you know, for because wasn't hired because he couldn't read or either that or just didn't turn up for his second audition. But he went on. He had parts on like in movies like he was in DC Cab.
Oh yeah,
and, yeah, that's and then whole, I think a couple other
episode.
Yeah, but then he ended up dying. He was a heroin addict too, yeah. So that's that. Like, yeah, so he ended up dying at a young age. But what could cheer us up after that?
Well, hold on. For the Comedy History 101 nerds out there. So Jean Dominion she actually befriended Woody Allen when he was a stand-up, and so they knew each other for a long time. They were friends, like back.
Oh wow!
In the,
okay,
back,
so
in,
back
the
in the
60s.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Woody Allen was playing the Playboy Club.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, in Chicago, there it actually says here on the Wikipedia. Yeah.
Dude, doing his bit about the moose.
Okay.
The
yeah,
costume she, party with okay. the moose tied to the yeah, ceiling yeah. or tied and to then, the roof of the car.
Yeah, and then she also okay. She worked with Dick Cavett as well. Okay. Thing. That's for the nerds out there. That's all solved.
Oh, and yeah, Woody Allen was off and on the Dick Cavett show.
Yeah. One other thing about Charlie Barnett. Yeah, it's crazy if you find that clip of him on YouTube performing. He's like doing a one man show in the middle of Washington Square Park. Like,
yeah, but he would just always do that. He would be like a street performer that would always have like hundreds and hundreds of people surrounding him.
Oh,
which
man.
Is a hurt.
All right,
but if you listen to the material, it's a little bit. It's very kind of 80s-ish, yeah. Kind of just playing on the ethnic cards on his routines.
We'll get more into it on our episode of DC Cab, dude. We gotta do.
Yeah,
DC
I think Charlie Barnett might be an episode in itself. So it's just like, you know, again, I've met someone who said they saw him perform like back in the day in Washington Square Park.
Cool.
All right. So, Scott, are you familiar with former Daily Show correspondent Rob Riggle?
I don't know, Harmon. I think he has something to do with Saturday Night Live, but I'm not sure what might have happened to him. Was he?
Did he go on for several seasons, or was he fired?
Oh my God! What happened? Was he fired? He was fired, wasn't he? You need a sound effect for that, man.
Yeah, or just a reverb over it. Oh,
okay, yeah. All right.
So he was hired in 2004. He was a former Marine on the show. I guess he was noted for doing impressions of Toby Keith and Howard Dean.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the season, he was let go. But this was actually his... I mean, just to think that's like his actual first like foray into show business, just being hired on Saturday Night Live. So in his words, this was the first showbiz gig I've ever got, so it was overwhelming to begin with. It's unbelievable pace and pressure. I got to a point where I didn't even know what was funny anymore by the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet there's so many fucking head games going on, like in the writer's room of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You know, because you'll be fired if your sketches don't make it on the air, and there's just always these allegiance form, like, you know, like, I remember just, like, hearing, I think it was, like, what's that guy's name, the comedian, Jay Moore, yeah. Just saying, you know, writers would only write for, like, say, Sandler because their career goal was, like, okay, if I just keep writing sketches for Adam Sandler, maybe he'll bring me on and I can write his movies for him.
Mm-hmm.
So you get those kind of weird allegiance going on.
Yeah, because then you'll and then it was always so weird. I went to a couple script readings in the big Hollywood, as you say, out there, and those are always so kind of weird because it's like people laughing. You got to make sure you're laughing at your friend's jokes if they put that into the script. And
oh God,
you know,
yeah. There's LA crowds are like either the easiest because they don't want to be like the Emperor's New Clothes and you know, act like they don't get it, or they're the fucking most pretentious. We don't laugh at anything because they don't want to be like. Well, they don't think it's funny. I'm not gonna think it's funny.
Yeah,
because they're the gatekeeper who's not laughing. Yeah. But I remember once, like me and Adam Spiegelman, who was former comedy booker for Jimmy Kimmel. We went to when National Lampoon had a relaunched Lemmings, and we went, and people were just like, they're just falling out of their seats laughing, and we're just like looking at each other and it's like, is this really not that funny, or is it just me, you know? But it was just like oh my god, like if you hired extras to fall out of their seats laughing, it felt like that kind of vibe to it.
Oh god.
Ugh. Yeah, it's just So what about we're on the home stretch of our fire not fire. What about Chris Parnell? Was he fired at all?
Let's see. I'm not really sure, Harmon.
Was he fired once? Was he fired twice? Was he fired too much? It wasn't nice.
Well, let me put it this way, Harmon. If he was here in the UK and he was done. And
give him the sack. He got the sack.
They would have given him. This is called the P-45. That means he would have been fired. So he was.
Would he have done his P-45 to be on his UB-40?
Yeah, the UB-40 to take the U-2. Take the U-2 to drop off your P-45 with UB-40.
So Chris Parnell, he was on, I guess, around the Will Ferrell time, and he was fired not once but twice from Saturday Night Live. First for his fourth season on the show, only to be rehired midway through the season.
Yeah. No, actually, one of the best straight men of all time, I think.
Chris Parnell?
Yeah.
I had to do a little Google search of, like, who actually he is. I think he ended up on 30 Rock.
He did a lot of that stuff, but he's probably our Comedy History 101 listeners out there are probably known best as the voice of the dad on, I can't remember the dad's name, but on Rick and Morty. He's the dad.
Oh, really? No way.
Yeah.
I love Rick and Morty. Have you seen all the Rick and Mortys?
I have. I'm waiting for the new episode. And we're also
new season, about a year probably.
The new season. I'm also waiting for the podcast that we do about it.
Oh, yeah. Our friend Johnny Hardwick was the first one who turned me on to Rick and Morty when I was staying at his house.
Really? Yeah, it's great, dude. That's why I got Netflix.
Pure funny.
I bought not Netflix so I could watch Rick and Morty.
Finally
caved in. Yeah.
Or you could get a site called Putlocker. Uh-oh. They're knocking at my door. They're knocking at my door.
Netflix.
I gotta edit that out.
I'll pay for it. I can afford the $5 a month, man.
Yeah. So in 2001, Chris Parnell's manager broke the news that he was fired, and his manager gave no real reason for being let go at the time. So he said when he got fired, he just parked the car, sat there. I don't think I cried. I was just stunned. So that was, you know, that sort of feeling when you're fired from, you know, you must think, oh my God, my crew's over. You know, it's like, because Saturday Night Live is, you know, essentially when they're doing the casting correctly, they're getting, you know, the cream of the comedy crop. You know, like I do shows at, you know, I've done, you know, UCB and The Pit. And then those are all kind of sketch comedy orientated. Right. So, and there's like so many fucking sketch groups and sketch comedians. But, that's like, you know, the holy grail is to get on SNL. And just imagine you finally get there and then you get fired. And it's like, where do I go now? You know?
Yeah.
But apparently cast members Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan, who was never fired. What was the one where he's like, Dwarf Boy or something?
Mango, man. Mango, dude.
Oh, God. Did he make a movie out of that?
I know. We need to. We need to do a whole episode about Mango.
So they went to bat for Parnell and was told that the door may still be open for him to return. And then finally, one day, they brought him back. Lauren actually apologized and said, look, and I'll want to hear my Lauren Michaels
impression. Let's hear it.
Okay. Look, Parnell, I made a mistake.
That's pretty good.
It's Dr. Evil, really.
I know, you
like,
could be in
that's where they got the voice of Dr. Evil.
Yeah, that's where he, that's another podcast. Dude, I'm just throwing out, that's a whole other episode.
Put it on the Trello card.
That's my catchphrase, man.
Mm. So he was fired in 2001, but in 2006, fired a second time along with Rachel Dratch. And Horatio Sands.
Oh no, the Sands.
Though he did perform for 8 seasons. Was Horatio Sands originally on Mad TV? Is that
I don't know. We can. I'll run that through the Comedy History 101.
Yeah, maybe one of our listeners could fill us in on that.
Okay.
So I guess, you know, a few other people who were fired. Jay Farrell, who was on the show, I guess, since 2010. He played the role of Barack Obama. And Ben Carson fired, along with Taryn Killam. Do you know any of these people?
Nope.
Well, you know what happened to him? He was fired, and he was known for playing long shot presidential candidate. Scott, help me out on this one. Donald Trump.
Oh, man.
Only to be replaced by Daryl Hammond playing Donald Trump, only to be replaced by Alec Baldwin Donald Trump.
I don't think this. So I don't think it doesn't look like Horatio Sands was ever on Mad TV. But here's the crazy thing, man. He's lost a lot of weight. He's all like super buff now.
Oh wow! Yeah. So there you go. Maybe we'll put a picture of him being super buff on our website, Comedy History 101.
Yeah.
So Scott, I think that's pretty much covers the list. Any other people that were fired? You mentioned one. Charles Rocket.
Oh, Charles Rocket, dude. He's like kind of the one of the first famous ones. He actually, so this is back in the episode of February 21st, 1981, where they were doing a Who Shot JR takeoff skit. Oh, man, you remember that? he was playing JR in the skit, and they actually had somebody on, Charlene Tilton from Dallas, who was actually on the show at the time. And so they did the skit, and Rocket as JR gets shot, and then he goes, oh, he said live on the air, I'd like to know who fucking did it. And so,
he pulled a Jenny Slate.
Yep.
As we heard, the top of the show.
I think he might have. Somebody said "fuck" during the newscast at one point. I'm gonna look that up, dude. I'll add that. That'll be in the article on our site at comedyhistory101.com. But he wound up getting fired. But then he kind of had a pretty big career in like TV and whatnot after that, and movies. But here's the mysterious thing: he was found dead in a field with his throat slit.
Oh yeah, another thing. Yeah. Oh, first of all, that's horrible. Second, no, yeah.
But they said it was a suicide. That's a weird thing.
Yeah, I think a little interesting thing about him is he's actually talked about in this David Lynch documentary. They were co-students together. I think it was David Lynch at RISLE, Rhode Island School of Design. Yeah, no, RISLE. I think David RISLE, Lynch. Yeah, though I think David Lynch went to school in Philadelphia. But I think it was like somebody like David Lynch said he was... Charles Rocket was making these experimental movies and was like a really influence as a student at when they were in school together.
Oh, really?
I think it was David Lynch who said that. I could be wrong. Maybe if a listener knows, they can fill me in. But it was somebody of a David Lynch caliber that said they were really inspired by the student films when they were students together that Charles Rocket was making. But I think that's probably how he got... hired, you know, partly through, his student films.
Oh wow, yeah, he was supposed to be a big, yeah, he was touted by Gene Dominion as the cross between Chevy Chase and Bill Murray.
Oh yeah, Chevy Chase now.
Yeah. So when he started on Saturday Night Live or before he did it, he was known for a thing called the Rocket Report, where he would go out in the streets of New York and talk to people. So maybe, yeah, he had his little background in a filmmaking there. One of the other people I wanted to mention for sure, though, is Billy Crystal.
Was he fired?
Yeah, well, he was... I don't know if he was technically fired or not, but you know he was supposed to be in the first episode of Saturday Night Live, and then his sketch got cut. So like I think it was on one of those Mark Maron podcasts where I heard him. And
you mean like the original Saturday Night Live? Like,
yeah,
with
the very
Lucy
first. Yeah, he was supposed. Yeah, yeah, that one. That one. Yeah, and then the sketch got cut. So I guess he kind of got fired. But then I remember him talking about it. He was still living in New York at the time, so he had to get fired from Saturday Night Live and then take the subway home.
Well, everyone takes a subway home, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. It's pre-Uber. Yeah. You didn't have the app on your phone.
He could.
You didn't have a
app.
Phone in your pocket, so there was no such thing as phone apps at the time of 1976. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably why didn't he just hail a cab with his hands?
He probably didn't have any money, dude. His sketch got caught, dude. It was pre-soap Billy Crystal.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. So there you have it. So, Scott, any other takeaways from, again, this all, the catalyst of this was comedian Shane Gillis fired for racist remarks.
But he was fired before he was even on. I guess that would be my takeaway.
Yeah, but that was also the same with Charlie Barnett was fired or didn't turn up after being hired. But, yeah.
Okay.
Though it's left unsaid, like everyone knows this guy's name now, but they know him for being a fucking racist.
Yeah. My takeaway.
I don't think that's a good thing.
My takeaway is try not to get fired from Saturday Night Live, but if you do get fired, it's okay because you're in good company.
Yeah, there you go. Or why don't they just take Saturday Night Live off the fucking air?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a stale horse.
Please.
I mean, it's like now I forgot like who I was listening to. It's like before. They would have all their ensemble do, like, the Trump's impression or the political person. But now they just bring in, like, famous people. They'll bring in, like, you know, Larry David or Alec Baldwin to actually take the screen time away from the cast members.
Yeah, please just stop.
But fuck Saturday Night Live. Because, again, it's like, I forgot who was listening to, but, you know, it's like the whole premise is to make fun of the establishment. And there's a big argument, which I think is an episode in itself, that Saturday Night Live helped get Trump elected.
Right, yep.
You know, like, why the fuck did they make him a guest host, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, what was the point of that? And then, you know, just other things where, like, Tina Fey would play Sarah Palin, and they would actually get Sarah Palin to be in the sketch. No, you don't do that. It's like, these are the enemies. These are the people you take down. You don't let them in on the joke. It's like, it's just the shittiest of all shitty.
Well, I think that just kind of shows you how defanged any kind of political comedy coming. Like, if it's to the point where the person you're making fun of comes on the show, then there's no teeth. There's no teeth to what you're doing.
Yeah, and that's why probably, like, Trump always tweets about Saturday Night Live, not funny, because he thought he was, like, in, you know, Hollywood in with them, you know, or New York in, not Hollywood, but, you know, because they let him in. They let him be the host, you know, in the same way, like, on, you know, our episode on the Comedy Central Roast of Trump, where, you know, he's making all the decisions on the sketches and what can be said and not said, you know,
because
instead of, like, just all no holds bar of, like, you know, and now he's the president. Now I feel depressed.
Yeah.
So there you have it. A lot of great comedians have been fired from Saturday Night Live and some shitty comedians as well. So with that, I think it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
I was waiting for the music to kick in, Harmon. So,
right. Or the reverb effect.
I sent you the jingle.
You're
just into the reverb. That's all right. hey, well, first of all, everyone, speaking of presidents and the president, Harmon and I have another podcast called This is the President, which you can find on Stitcher, Google Play, Last.fm, iTunes, of course, and everywhere you find your favorite podcast. You can also find episodes and articles about the episodes over at my website, scottcolanco.com, soon to be moved over to thisisthepresident.com. Nobody steal that domain from me, please. Please, I'm begging you.
Yeah, because then you have to go thisisthepresident.edu or .gov.
Well, there's plenty of stuff out there. We, in addition to our podcast, we've been putting up YouTube videos of all our fun presidential phone calls. So you can find those over on our new YouTube channel. Just do a search for This is a President. Do a search for JFK phone calls, Harmon. I've SEO'd the fuck out of that. So you can come. And I can say fuck right now because I can't get fired. In addition to that, I wrote and directed a movie called Everything You Want to Know About Sudden Birth, But We're Afraid to Ask, which Harmon produced. And is now touring around the country. You can come, instead of sitting here and rattling it off all the great places we'll be playing, just go to my website, scottcolunco.com/suddenbirth, and you can find out where we're playing next. But coming up soon, we'll be playing this weekend at the Fantastic Fest in Austin, Texas. So go have a breakfast taco, drink a Shiner, go watch Sudden, a baby being born. And that's it for me, Harm.
Here, here, here. And for me, this Friday, I'll be performing at a little venue in Washington, D.C. called the Kennedy Center for two shows as part of the Reach Festival. 7:30 and 9:30 of my show, Jokey Okey. So come on out and say hello. Also, I have a new book out called Tribe Spotting Undercover Culture Stories. You can check it out on Amazon. All my best stories about going out undercover and infiltrating extremist groups in America. And with that, thanks a lot for tuning in to another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. Thanks a lot and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
Yes, ma'am, I read you loud and clear. Yes, ma'am, this is... Yes, ma'am, this is the president.
Hey, everyone. Scott here. You just finished our Comedy History 101 podcast. So you like comedy and history. Then you should try out our other podcast, This is the President. In every episode, I dig up some found audio from one of our presidents and play it for Harmon, who's never heard it before. Then we talk about it. From Truman to Trump, we cover all your favorite presidents and not so favorite ones. You can also hear Harmon sounding off about current events and the state of America today. And if you're lucky, you might be able to catch us reading customer reviews of Trump products on Amazon. You can subscribe to This is the President on iTunes, Google Play, Last.fm, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Just search for This is the President, subscribe, and together we'll make America great again.